All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So, welcome back. Hope everybody had an enjoyable break over the last couple of weeks. We continue again in our journey through Sefer Tehillim, and we find ourselves at the beginning of Kapitel Chof Zayin, chapter 27 in Tehillim. So, I'm sorry, we did 26. I'm okay? Okay, we can go on. All right, so we find ourselves, now it's been confirmed, at Kapitel Chof Zayin, chapter 27 in Tehillim. So what I'm sorry? Well, if you let me finish, maybe I'll get through a class. So, no problem. So I'm going to switch you to decaf, I think. Okay, so now, what I want to show you something is something very interesting. So what I'd like to do with this particular capital is the following. As you could see already, this is a very well-known capital, the capital of L'David Hashem Ori V'Ishi. The capital that we begin to say Rosh Chodesh Elul, and we recite all the way through the conclusion of Sukkis. So what I'd like to try to do today is the following. We'll spend a couple of moments going through the capital itself, and then speak about it in a little bit more of a general term. And then I'd like to discuss perhaps a more global principle. As you know, what I try to do at the first class of every new session is to be able to give you a little bit of an insight into David HaMelech's personality, which will, Amir Hashem, allow us to appreciate the kapitloch as we go through them. So let's spend a few moments just looking at the kapitol. Number one, L'David Hashem Ori V'Ishi. Of David, Hashem is my light, my salvation. Mimi irahu shall I fear? Hashem ma'os chayai mimi efchad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my stronghold. I have no one to fear. B'krovalai mireim lechos bisari. Tzarai v'oivai li hima kashel v'nafalo. When evildoers draw near to me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies against me, they stumbled and fell. In tachane alai machane lo yirat libi. Even if a whole camp comes up against me, I will not fear. In takum alai milchama bozos ani boteach. If war comes up against me, in this I will trust. Achos sha'alti me'eis Hashem osa avakesh. One thing I ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shifti beveis Hashem koyimei chayai, lachzos b'noam Hashem ulevaker beheichalo. One thing I ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to dwell in the house of God all the days of my life, and to literally look upon His countenance, and to visit within His temple. Ki etz b'neini b'suka b'yom ra'ay astireini, b'seser ahalo b'tsur yirom emeini. Again, that He will hide me in His tabernacle on the day of calamity. He will conceal me in the secrecy of His tent. He will lift me up on a rock. Va'ato yorum roshi al oivai sivivosai. Kadosh Baruch Hu, lift my head up from among all of my enemies. Ve'ezbecha ba'ohalo zivchei tshrua ashira va'azamra la'Hashem. I will sacrifice in His tent, sacrifice with joyous song. I will sing and chant praise to the Lord. Shema Hashem koli ekra. Chanini vanini, hearken, O Lord, to my voice which I call out, and be gracious and answer me. Pasuk Ches, Lecha amar libi bakshu panes panecha Hashem avakesh. On your behalf, my heart says, seek my presence, your presence, O Lord, I will seek. Al taster panecha mimeni, don't hide from me. Al tat ba'af avdecha ezrasi ayisa, you are my salvation. Al tichini va'al ta'azveni elokei yish'i. Literally, you are my help. Do not forsake me and do not abandon me, God of my salvation. Ki avi v'imi azavuni v'Hashem ya'asvini. For even when my father and my mother leave me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will collect me. Horeini Hashem darkecha, teach me your ways. Unichini ba'orech mishor, instruct me in your paths. L'man shorirai. Ultimately, for those, using English here, for those who lie in wait for me. Al titneni benefesh sarai, ki kamu be'ede sheker viveach chamas. Do not deliver me to the desires of my adversaries, for false witnesses and speakers of evil have risen against me. Pasuk Yud Gimel, lulei ha'amanti l'ros v'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. Had I not believed in seeing the good of the Lord in the land of living, kavei al Hashem chazak v'yamitz libecha, v'kavei al Hashem. Hope for the Lord, be strong, and He will give your heart courage and hope for the Lord. So again, as you often remark when we try to translate a chapter of Tehillim, so what is David HaMelech talking about over here? It's not immediately clear. What we know he's talking about is he's talking about difficulty. He's talking about salvation. That's always a safe bet because that's the theme of 99% of Tehillim. Difficulty, encountering adversaries, encountering obstacles, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivering me with divine salvation. But obviously, David HaMelech does not need to repeat the same theme 150 times, which indicates to us that each kapitel has its own meaningful, nuanced message. Bless you. But what I want to point out from the outset is something that is striking at the beginning of the kapitel, and that is what? Based on what we learned in our last couple of kapitlach, Lidovid. Remember, again, we've already established that there are basically three different ways in which David HaMelech introduces a kapitel of Tehillim. And they are, number one, Mizmor Lidovid. Number two, Lidovid Mizmor. And number three, Lidovid. And remember, we pointed out already that that's not haphazard. Each of those introductions means something else. Lidovid Mizmor means that David HaMelech was already in a state of inspiration. He was self-inspired. He already was on a high level, and then he goes into Shira. He goes into beautiful song. Mizmor Lidovid means David was not self-inspired. Mizmor LeDavid means David was not in a state of inspiration and had to inspire himself. How did David HaMelech inspire himself when he was down? Music. And LeDavid, what does LeDavid mean? So if you take a look at number two, so remember again, we saw LeDavid for the first time in Kapitel Chaf Hei. We saw actually Kapitel Chaf Hei and Kapitel Chaf Vav. So if you look at number two, Rav Hirsch writes, there's actually Rav Hirsch on Kapitel Chaf Hei, chapter 25. The superscription to this psalm is LeDavid, not Mizmor LeDavid or LeDavid Mizmor. Here we do not see David gaining inspiration on the wings of song, nor do we see here the outpourings of divine rapture coming from a full heart. In this psalm, David simply states the emotions and thoughts that fill his soul. Or in other words, explains Rav Hirsch that LeDavid is just a free flow of David HaMelech's consciousness. This is David HaMelech bearing his soul, David HaMelech bearing his heart, and telling us what he's thinking, telling us what he's feeling. It's not prophecy, it's not even inspiration. It's just a window into the Davidic heart, mind, and soul. And in fact, if you look at number three, Rav Hirsch in his commentary on this chapter, on this kapitel, writes over here the same idea. But if you skip down to the last two lines, he says, Psalm 27 expresses those specific concepts that sustained David throughout all the vicissitudes of his life. So Rav Hirsch says, whereas Kapitel Chaf Hei, Kapitel Chaf Vav were both this LeDavid, both this window into the Davidic mind and soul. Kapitel Chaf Zayin is a little bit different. What is David HaMelech going to share with us over here? He is going to tell us, how did he weather all the storms of life? We'll discuss this in greater detail in just a little bit. David HaMelech had quite a number of significant life challenges. Whatever you think you are dealing with in your life, David HaMelech dealt with it, and dealt with it tenfold. He dealt with sickness. He dealt with problems with children. He dealt with problems in his marriage. The only thing that David HaMelech perhaps did not struggle with was
money.
Okay, fine. He didn't have financial struggles. That's one of the benefits of being king. You're pretty financially secure. But outside of that, any life struggle that you could imagine, David HaMelech had to contend with. So according to Rav Hirsch, LeDavid, this is what's going to happen in this kapitel. David is going to tell us about all the struggles he has in life. That's number one. And number two, he's going to tell us how he deals with them, or how he dealt with them, which is quite amazing, because according to Rav Hirsch, the beauty of Kapitel Chaf Zayin, and part of what we'll do in coming weeks, is we'll try to figure out why this is the chapter that we read for Yamim Noroim. Why is this the chapter that we read when we prepare for the Yemei Hadin, for the days of judgment, for the high holidays? Why is this the kapitel that we read throughout the Yom Tov of Sukkis? As we understand it, it'll make perfect sense. But in a simple way, says Rav Hirsch, this kapitel is all about the struggles of David HaMelech's life and the coping mechanisms in which David HaMelech employed in order to appropriately deal with them. So take a look at number four. So today, we're pretty much just going to focus on the first pasuk. So look at number four. The Ebenezer writes the following. LeDavid Hashem, so you know what's interesting is the following. When you learn Chumash, so how do you learn a pasuk of Chumash? What do? You open up the Torah, look it up. How do you learn a pasuk of Chumash?
Rashi.
Okay. No, that's not how you learn a pasuk of Chumash. Rashi is a commentary that you should employ to understand. The first thing you do when you look at a pasuk of Chumash is you analyze the text, right? Pshat. What do the words mean? And the first thing you always look for, which is what the commentaries look for as well, is any apparent redundancy or unnecessary words. Of course, there is no redundancy in the Torah, and of course, there are no unnecessary words. So if something appears redundant, something appears unnecessary, that's what the Mefarshim jump all over that. Rashi and others try to understand. That's why, you know, if you really want to learn Rashi, you have to understand Rashi's entire approach to analyzing text is a reactive approach, meaning Rashi saw a problem or an issue or a question. The difficulty with Rashi is Rashi often doesn't phrase his question. He doesn't tell us what's bothering him. He just gives us his answer. So if you really want to learn Rashi, what you first have to understand is what's bothering Rashi. Rashi, what's your question? And then Rashi tells you the answer. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because you can't really do this with Tehillim. Why can't you do it with Tehillim? Because it's poetry, right? The whole idea of poetry is you use a whole bunch of words and extra words, perhaps unnecessary words, because you're trying to convey emotion. And the same way that when you're having an emotional conversation, you don't necessarily measure your words exactly, but you just speak your heart. So Tehillim is David HaMelech speaking his heart. Yet, at the same time, we do look for what would appear to be certain redundancies within the text. So for example, in number 4, the Ibn Ezra says that it's interesting that David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are my Ori V'Yishi. You are my light and my salvation. What does that mean? What is David HaMelech referring to over here? Look at number 4. Writes the Ibn Ezra. David HaShem Ori V'Yishi, number 4, Mimi'ira, Yesh Omrim, Ori Balayla, She'in Sham Or. Ori refers to nighttime, nighttime where there is no light. Ki ha-nefesh tipachet, because ultimately at night, the soul is very afraid. V'yishi b'yom, and salvation, that refers to the day. So the Ibn Ezra says, what David HaMelech is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is God, you are there for me at all times. Ori, you are my light in the midst of darkness. You are my light during those difficult times. You know, we don't appreciate this as much because we live in an age of artificial light. But Rav Soloveitchik points out, for example, we know that how many times a day do we daven, or is there a concept of tefillah? 3 times. How many of those are obligatory? Not too bad, let's say, for women. I'm saying in general, as a concept in halacha, 2, right? Shacharis is an obligation, mincha is an obligation, mariv is not. Mariv is not. Why isn't mariv an obligation? So there's a couple of different reasons. It happens to be that prayer corresponds to temple service, sacrificial service, and there was no nighttime sacrificial service. The only thing they did at night in the temple is they burnt all the leftover limbs and fats. There are no karbanos at night, but the Rav explains, or Soloveitchik explains, that tefillah, prayer, requires confidence. When you daven, you have to believe that you're worth something. When you daven, you have to believe that you're important enough for God to listen to you. You have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about you enough to listen to what you have to say and to potentially grant your requests. The Rav says, we only have that level of confidence by day. At night, man is not confident. Why? Because, you know, if you're walking outside at night, so the littlest noise startles you. Right, that same noise by day you wouldn't even pay attention to. But at night, certainly in Baltimore, right? At night, it absolutely startles you. Why? Because at night, I can't see as well. I don't know what's happening. My confidence is handicapped and impaired. So David HaMelech says over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first thing, Ori, you're my light. You're my light. So no matter what darkness I have to endure in life, whether it's darkness, my own darkness, darkness that others visit upon me, there's one thing I know for sure. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will always light my way. How? When? Where? We'll see that later on in the kapitel. V'yishi refers to salvation, says the Ibn Ezra, during the day. During the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that you will always be with me, both in those difficult times at night, as well as those difficult times in day. He goes on. He says, or furthermore, it could also mean, V'yish Omrim, I'm in number 4, second line. Others say, Ori, Toloi B'divrei HaNeshama, V'yishi B'divrei HaGuf. Others say that Ori, light, refers to spiritual matters. Yishi, salvation, refers to physical matters. Uma'oz Chayai, Kasher HaNeshama B'guf, Alkin Lo Yipachim Al Shefridim. So the Ibn Ezra says, or the other possibility is, L'David HaShem, Ori V'yishi, God, you will help me with my spiritual struggles. You are my light. And Yishi, salvation, you will help me with my physical struggles. Because David HaMelech understood that man faces two different sets of struggles in life. We struggle spiritually, we all do. We all do. The nature and extent of that of those struggles perhaps vary individually, but we all struggle spiritually, and we all struggle physically. If you don't think you struggle spiritually, it's only because you're not thinking enough. Right? Again, struggle is part of the fabric of the human condition, both in the realm of spirituality as well as physicality. L'David, David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to bear my soul to you. Hashem, Ori, you help me with my spiritual struggles. You help me in the nighttime of life. V'yishi, you help me with my physical struggles, and you help me in the daytime of life. The Radak says in number 5, Now remember, David HaMelech doesn't stop there. So he says, Hashem, you are my light, you are my salvation, therefore I have no one to fear. Hashem ma'oz chayai, you are my stronghold. What does it mean you're my stronghold? Look at Radak number 5. Ma'oz chayai gamkein, mimi efchad. He says, Shemiseni, I don't fear that anyone will kill me. Ki kemoshe yiskav ha'adam b'migdal, lahatzil nafsho shelo yimisu oivav. Kain niskafti ani bom. And the Radak says the same way that if a person is being pursued, he finds a place to take refuge. And if he literally finds a stronghold to be able to take refuge, he knows that his enemies can't touch him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are my stronghold. When I somehow take refuge in you, and what that means we'll have to see, because it's such a profound idea. Not just a relationship with God, not just a connection with God, but literally taking refuge within the Ribono Shel Olam, being enveloped by the protective embrace of God, I have no one or nothing to fear. This state that David HaMelech is describing is something absolutely amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so again, to bring this all together, just this first pasuk, Hashem, you are my light. Light means what? You help me with my spiritual battles. You help me in the darkness of life. V'yishi, my salvation. You help me with my physical battles. You help me in the daytime struggles of life. Hashem ma'oz chayai. You are my stronghold. I take refuge in you. Somehow, I don't just connect with you, but I connect in you. I'm able to enter within you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you are my stronghold. You protect me from all the difficult and negative things in life. Let's take a step back now. Because obviously, whenever we look at a kapitel of Tehillim, what's the first question we ask ourselves? Okay, you can give me the second question. What's going on in David HaMelech's life? Remember, again, we've already spoken about the idea over our how many years have we been doing Tehillim? 2 years? 3 years? 4 years? 4 years. Okay. So in our years of doing Tehillim, we've spoken about the idea, bless you, that David HaMelech often wrote certain kapitlach in reaction to certain events. Now, we don't know what's behind every kapitel, but there are some kapitlach where we absolutely know what was going on in the Davidic heart and mind. So the question we want to ask ourselves now is, now that we've defined what's happening over here, so we have now L'David, this is not David HaMelech in a state of inspiration, this is not what Rav Hirsch calls divine rapture, this is not prophecy, this is David just spilling his soul, spilling his heart. And what does David HaMelech say? Essentially, I'm struggling, I'm having difficulty, I'm living in the nighttime of life, the daytime of life, I have spiritual struggles, physical struggles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I take refuge in you. David, what's the problem? What are you struggling with? What's happening in your life that caused you to say these words? Take a look at number 6. And this is astounding. So the Al-Sheikh says over here, you can see a little biography of the Al-Sheikh over here. Al-Sheikh, you can visit the Al-Sheikh's kever in the old cemetery in Tzfat. So the Al-Sheikh writes the following. He says, number 6, 6 Aleph, L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi, V'Novo Ela Inyon. So what are we talking about over here? Ki hine vihu, ki hine odenu omeid bitzaras inyon batsheva. You know, it is amazing that virtually every single thing in David HaMelech's life comes back to the episode with Batsheva. It's an incredible musr also that there are some things in life that just forever shape and color the direction and trajectory of our existence. So the Al-Sheikh says, David HaMelech is saying this kapitel while he is still struggling with the fallout of the episode of Batsheva. What was the fallout? Shenim shachlo tigras oivav hakrovim elav. Ha'omrim lefanav habo al ishes ish misaso bima. Umach isim also bebeis midrasha kima'ama rabosinu zal. Now remember again, what's interesting to note is after the episode of Bathsheba, David is confronted by the Navi Nasan. And remember again, that Nasan doesn't confront David frontally. He confronts David through a mashal. Remember again how we actually studied this on Shabbos afternoon in our Navi Shir. So Nasan comes to David and gives him a mashal. And the mashal is, he tells him about a rich man who had everything in the world. And in the same town as the rich man, there was a poor man. And all the poor man had was what? Was one little lamb. And he loved this lamb. He raised this lamb. He nurtured this lamb. In fact, the Navi says the lamb even slept together with him in a healthy way. But he's saying, again, he's trying to put, and this is the one thing the man had in his life. And the rich man was having guests over at his home. And he decided, you know what? He didn't want to take one of his own sheep to serve to the guests. Instead, what did he do? He took the one little lamb that the poor man had. And he says to David, "New David, what would you do with such a person?" And David HaMelech's reaction is very swift. David says he should be put to death. Now, first of all, it's interesting, by the way, that the penalty for theft is not death. Theft of property, at least, is not death. So the Mefarshim point out, why would David HaMelech visit a death? Because David HaMelech was outraged that someone would do something like that. If you have everything at your disposal, you know, it's one thing to steal because you don't have. It's still not a forgivable offense, but at least it's understandable. But if you have everything, then why take from the person who doesn't? David HaMelech feels society cannot tolerate such a person. David should be put to death. And Nasan Navi then says to David, that man is you. You're the rich man. And the poor man was Uriah Hiti. You're the king. You had everything. Uriah Hiti had one little lamb, his little Bathsheba. That's all he had in life. And it wasn't enough. You have your wives. You have whatever. You're the king. You can marry. You can do whatever you want. But it wasn't enough. You had to take the one little lamb of Uriah Hiti. You had to take Bathsheba. And David HaMelech says, I'm sorry. David HaMelech, to his credit, and this was an incredible display of greatness, David HaMelech says, I made a mistake. I made a horrible mistake, and I'm sorry. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives David. Next sentence. Nasan Avi says to David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives you. Now remember, there's forgiveness, but forgiveness still comes with punishments. Forgiveness still comes with fallout. So what David HaMelech struggles with for the rest of his life is, he knows, and we've spoken about this in past shiurim, David knows that he's been forgiven by God. But what's the problem? No one else knows that. So as far as the people were concerned, in the eyes of many people, David HaMelech spends his life pretty much marked as an adulterer. That's, and again, I quoted this Gemara for you in the past, that when David HaMelech was in the Beis Medrash, they would taunt him, and they would discuss, what is the penalty for a man who commits adultery? And they would ask David this question. They knew full well what the answer was, but they would taunt David HaMelech. Now, it happens also, Bathsheba came from a very connected family. So when it came out, what David had done, ultimately, again, Bathsheba's relatives, who we'll discuss in subsequent kapitlach, bore such great animosity towards David. They would constantly taunt him. And what is David going to say? David realizes that, you know what, he has to bear this pain. He knows that he did tshuva. David HaMelech did tshuva for whatever. We're not going to go through now the exact nature of his act. Was it a sin? Was it not a sin? The Gemara says that Kala Omer David Chata Eina Ela Toa. Whoever says David made a mistake is mistaken himself. We know David HaMelech did not commit technical adultery. One thing is clear. David HaMelech had a lapse in appropriate behavior. He did not do what was expected of the king. How he let himself do this, what happened, not our topic for today. What we're dealing with today is the fallout. And the fallout is, he's being taunted, he's being shamed. Remember, David HaMelech only experiences true, full redemption when? We learn this.
After he dies, right?
Only when he's dead. right? It's only when Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash and the gates of the Beis HaMikdash will not open for anyone. It's only once Shlomo mentions the memory of his father that the gates open, that the people realize that God had really forgiven David. So David lives the rest of his life really being taunted and being shamed by some significant segments of the population. And he says, V'hini Yadua, I'm in number six, paragraph Aleph, third line in. V'hini Yadua, ki kodem inyan bat sheva, sha'al me'es Hashem she'yivna be'es ha'mikdash b'yamav, v'lo hovdelo hu yisparach. Now remember, we actually spoke about this as well. David HaMelech had asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu earlier on to build the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech asked for permission to build the temple, and God did not let him. V'achar zman, remember again, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give David HaMelech the ability to do? He bought the plot of land from Aravna HaYevusi. So he was privileged to buy the future site of the Beis HaMikdash, but he himself was not able to actually build it. So says the Al-Sheikh something amazing. V'achar zman, haya inyan bat sheva. And then afterwards, so now again, David HaMelech asks to build the Beis HaMikdash. That request is denied. A little while later, the episode of Bat Sheva occurs. V'shir inyano, excuse me, v'shar inyano, inyan kavaso, b'mizmor hazehaya, ki hine shnei mine ayvim yesh la'adam. There are two different enemies that we face in life. Echad oyev ha'nefesh, one is a spiritual enemy. Ki yetzahara v'chol kochos tumah shena'aseh ba'averos asher asa, shekal achas mehina ki ish milchama omedes ligror lo la'avira acheres yom yom la'abed es nafsho. We face a spiritual enemy every single day. Who is that spiritual enemy? That spiritual enemy is the Yetzirah. So remember, again, I've mentioned before, the Yetzirah is not a guy, a red guy with horns and a pitchfork who stands on your shoulder. Right? The Yetzirah represents the inner pushes and pulls and desires that we have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with. And what's the problem with the Yetzirah? When I have a lapse in appropriate behavior, whatever that may be, that fuels the Yetzirah. That makes those, which is normal. Any time that you engage in a particular behavior, you reinforce that behavior, which then means when you try to change that behavior, it becomes even more difficult. So if I sin, I reinforce sinful behavior. And when I decide that, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, it makes it much more difficult because I've reinforced that behavior depending on how many times I've actually committed averos. So we face this spiritual struggle, this spiritual enemy each and every day. V'yesh sukshani, there's another enemy. V'hu oyve haguf, orche milchama, Mivakshim lahargo kederach hamalachim na'adu lihilachim ish bi'ish mamlach b'mlacha. So the Al-Sheikh says in life we face two different types of enemy. We face an internal enemy and an external enemy. The internal enemy ultimately is the Yetzirah. We each have to do war. We do war each and every moment of life. We actively do battle. Some of us have stronger battles, some of us have easier battles, but we struggle against the Yetzirah each and every day. And there's an external enemy. Those are the enemies we face in life. Whether those are enemies ultimately that we do war with, whether again, unfortunately, many of us have to walk around life with people who we don't have good relationships with, who we have to contend with. So we each face enemies, internal and external. Paragraph base. V'hine leDavid ha'yosuk shlishi. David HaMelech had a third group of enemies. V'hu oivav sevivosav. And these were the enemies that were literally right around him. Kedoeg v'achitofel ham. David HaMelech has a third type of enemy. And what's the third type of enemy? The people who were in his own circles, by the Achitofel was a relative of Bathsheba, Doeg was a supporter of Shaul. These were individuals who were constantly humiliating and embarrassing David HaMelech. So David HaMelech has his internal Yetzirah that he has to deal with because he's a human being, his external enemies because he's a king, he runs an empire, and ultimately he has enemies all around him, and a third group of enemies, which are the enemies within, not internal, but within his own circles, the people who are constantly shaming him and humiliating him for the episode of Bathsheba. And he says, Va'amar David, I'm in 6 Bay's second line, Va'amar David, David said, Ki hine ala sugim harishonam lahaya mitzta'er. Ki ba'asher Hashem haya ba'azro. Lo yira lo mitzaras ha'nefesh v'lo mitzaras ha'guf. So the Al-Sheikh says that David HaMelech says something amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not worried about the first two types of enemies. my internal and external enemies, I could deal with them. And this actually fits in very beautifully with what we said before by the Ibn Ezra, that if Ori represents spiritual struggles, Yishi represents physical struggles, Davis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm confident that I could deal with those struggles. But you know what I have the greatest difficulty with? Ach ala shlishis amar, miyitein v'hoyo hu yisparach nosin esheilas v'akiduma, asher sha'al me'az sheyivna beis hamikdash biyamav. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I need your help with? I need your help with the third category of enemies. I can't deal with the people every single day who are so nasty to me, who are so condescending to me, who put me down, who hurt me. You know, the halacha is, the Rambam brings down, the Gemara actually brings down, that what is the one thing you're not allowed to do to a Baal Teshuva? The one thing. You are never permitted to remind them of their past. So tell me, how did that chazer taste? Right? I've always wondered, how was that? Right? Or, man, must have been good in those good old days when you were immoral. You're not allowed to say those things to a Baal Teshuva. Why? Because the whole, when a person, and hopefully we're all supposed to be Baalei Teshuva, but it's difficult. On one hand, we always use our past to fuel our present. Because if you forget your past, you lose your catalyst to become a better person. But it's painful when you have to reflect on the shortcomings of the past. So the Gemara says, when a person has demonstrated the fact that they are really trying to change things around, don't pull them back to those negative. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm trying to change. I'm trying to be, I made a mistake. Whatever the mistake was, I made a mistake and I'm trying to put my life back together. And I understand that that mistake comes with collateral damage. I'm willing to accept the repercussions of my act, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nobody is letting me move on. I'm tethered to this event and the people around me are keeping me mired in my mistakes. You understand the pain of that? The pain, not just the pain of being humiliated, it's the inability to move on. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed us with an incredible gift of forgetfulness, which is very important, because can you imagine if we remembered every single thing we did wrong? Some people do, and they're partially depressed, but if we remember, again, we have the ability to kind of bury things in a healthy way. And the past sometimes has to be the past. Can you imagine if every single day someone was whispering in your ear all of the negative things that you had done over the last couple of years? Imagine that. Imagine, maybe some people do live with that, right? Imagine that every single, every day you get up and there's someone there reminding you what you've, it's debilitating. I'm not that person. I know what I did. I've changed. I've rehabilitated myself. I'm different. And remember, when it comes to David HaMelech, also David did tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I accept your tshuva. Let me move on. Let me build. Let me turn myself into someone different. And yet the Al-Sheikh says, David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't understand, every single day. And what is David going to say? You know, sometimes you can answer back, and sometimes you can't answer back. So what is David going to say? What is he going to say? Leave me alone. Stop it. You know, you have to be very careful. So David's approach is, he just takes it. He just listens to it and he tries to move on. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I need from you? And this is amazing. Look back, 6 days. 6 days, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'll tell you what I need you to let me do. I need you to let me build the Beis HaMikdash. I know I asked you once before and you said no. I'm asking again. And this time I need you to say yes. And I'll tell you why. Listen to this. Shahaya Porish, because if I build the Beis HaMikdash, what's going to happen? Shay Porish Bein Adam, because the Beis HaMikdash will become my refuge. I will be able to separate myself from people. V'yoshev b'beis hamikdash kol hayom, and I'll be able to stay in the Beis Hamikdash the whole day. Be'erev hu ba'al beiso, at night I'll come home. U'bechol boker shav amishmar to b'beis Hashem yom yom kol yimei chayov. I need a place to escape to. I can't be here anymore. I can't face these people anymore. I need somewhere else where I could just be with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, again, obviously David's king, so he has a lot of responsibilities. So to disappear into the Beis HaMikdash obviously is not a realistic possibility. So what does he really mean? I'm in paragraph base, 3 lines from the end of the paragraph. V'az yiru oiva ve'yevoshu. You see, David says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know why people continuously taunt me? Because they don't believe that I'm a changed man. because they don't believe that I've done tshuva. And they don't believe that I've really repaired my relationship with you. So how could I show them? There's only one way. Let me build your home. If you let me build your home, then everyone will see in a clear, indisputable fashion that you have forgiven me and you've accepted me back into your heart, your divine heart. My enemies will see and they will be humiliated. Because if you allow me to build your home and you allow me to dwell in that home, one request. Let me build a home. Let me stay with you every day in that home. They will know I'm a ben bayis. I'm a ben bayis. I sit at the table of God. And they'll stop taunting me. So the Alshik just points out over here, why doesn't David just deal with these people? Meaning, if they're taunting you, you're the king. If they're taunting you every single day, there are ways that you can deal with that. David HaMelech did not know if that was the right approach. He did not know how to deal with these people. Should I deal with them quickly and suddenly? I'll tell you, interestingly enough, we'll see later on, David does deal with them. But he deals with them by instructing his son Shlomo. Shlomo deals with all of these people with incredible wisdom. And the truth is, they all ultimately get what's coming to them. But David HaMelech didn't feel it was appropriate. He thought it would look self-serving. Because maybe I'm just trying to hide my sin. Maybe I'm just trying to hide. So therefore, he just has to deal with it. So says the Al-Sheikh, you know what's happening over here? David HaMelech is living with the pain of the episode of Bathsheba. Now, you have to appreciate something. That when we say the pain of the episode of Bathsheba, just understand the fallout of the episode with Bathsheba. Number one, there's the act with Bathsheba itself, and the fact that David HaMelech sent Uriah HaHiti, David HaMelech sent Bathsheba's husband to his death. Now, again, granted, we're not going to rehash this whole story, but Uriah HaHiti perhaps was deserving of a death penalty on his own. But nevertheless, David HaMelech still orchestrated the events with which that would happen. The babe, Bathsheba, becomes pregnant from her night with David HaMelech. That baby dies. And that baby dies as a result of David HaMelech's behavior. The Navi tells David, the baby is going to die, not because of Bathsheba, but because of you. Remember what comes after that? The Navi tells the story right after the episode of Bathsheba. David HaMelech's daughter, Tamar, is raped by her half-brother, Amnon. So this is crazy stuff that is unfolding right in the house. And what happens after that? David HaMelech's own son rebels against him. So when we speak about the fact, when the Alshich says that David HaMelech is still Omeid Bitsaras Inyan Bathsheba, so this doesn't have to mean that David HaMelech is saying this, you know, the day after the episode of Bathsheba. The fallout from Bathsheba went on for years. And of course, it's the great anomaly of Bathsheba, because clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed that union. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed that union? Because Shlomo comes from David and Bathsheba. And remember, again, after David and Bathsheba name him Shlomo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Nasa Navi to tell David that, well, I've given him a different name. What's a different name? Yedidya. Yedidya. What does Yedidya mean? Yedid Hashem, the beloved of God. So it's strange. Which you know, there's a Gemara that says that David was supposed to marry Bathsheba. The Gemara says that Ru'uya Haisa Bathsheba LeDavid Misheshes Yimei Bereshis. That David was supposed to marry Bathsheba. They were Bashert. So what happened? So I'll tell you something amazing. Just an aside, but it's so I can't not share it with you. It'd be a disservice not to share it with you. So the Alshich brings this down in his commentary on Shmuel Beis. The Alshich quotes the Zohar, who says that David and Bathsheba were a Gilgul of Adam and Chava. The Zohar writes that what was Adam's mistake? Adam's mistake is, so we say he ate from the Eitz Das Tavar. He ate from the tree. I'm sorry?
Adam didn't ask for the
hashkacha. All right. I always say, I never blame Chava in Shiurim of all women, because it doesn't work well. All right, so what was Adam's mistake? So Adam's mistake, we say, was that he ate from the Eitz Das Torah. So the Zohar says something amazing. The Zohar says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to allow Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He was going to allow Adam. But what? He wanted Adam to wait until after Shabbos. So the Zohar says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach Adam HaRishon was the concept of restraint. Life is all about restraint. So, okay, here it is. You can't have it now, but if you wait, you'll be able to have it. And what was Adam's sin? Adam and Chava, they didn't have the necessary restraint. So says the Ashok something amazing. So what happens? Adam and Chava's neshamas leave this world without that tikkun, without that ability to have exercised the need of restraint. So they came back where? In David and Bathsheba. And what was supposed to happen? David was always supposed to marry Bathsheba. But when was it supposed to happen? After Uriah died. Uriah was going to die in battle. That was the plan. Uriah was going to die in battle. And some way, somehow, David and Bathsheba's paths were going to cross. So what was the mistake? He ate the fruit too early. It was the Gilgal made the same exact mistake as the origin, as the originals. So David and Bathsheba, again, although Bathsheba doesn't really have an active role in this story, David makes the same mistake as his soulful predecessor of Adam HaRishon. So when you say that, by the way, also the fallout of this is so much more dramatic because it's not even just about this story. It's just about another missed opportunity to be metakin, to ultimately remedy and rectify that original sin. So says the Al-Sheikh over here, what's happening in this kapitel is the following. David HaMelech is now standing in the middle of this fault. Now again, I don't know when, the Mepharshim don't say when David HaMelech wrote this kapitel. Is this kapitel again immediately after the death of the baby? Is it after the episode of the rape of Tamar? Is it after of Shalom? We don't know when it is, but one thing is clear, which is David HaMelech feels himself in the middle, in the eye of the storm of Bathsheba. My life has been turned upside down because of this entire episode. So the Al-Sheikh says what David HaMelech is going to ask for specifically is what? Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me build the Beis HaMikdash, because that will make everything quiet down on the home front. Because when people see that you've allowed me to build your home, when people see that I spend my days in your home, that will indicate that what? That you have forgiven me. And that way, that third type of enemy, because David says, I can deal with my spiritual struggles, I can deal with my external enemies, I can't deal with the people right in front of me who torment me every single day. Let me build the Beis HaMikdash, I will quiet those tormentors as well. Says the Al-Sheikh, that's what's happening over here. Yes?
This is not a fair question, because I know you're not blind. But, I think so. But you're right, him there. But why didn't that Kodesh Baruch Hu let him be with us? Because he did, Chuba. Everything that he was...
So I would say a little bit differently. You could even leave it aside from the Beis HaMikdash. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give David a tangible sign of forgiveness during his lifetime? It's an excellent question. Hold on to it. You're right. I will suggest an answer to it. It might, may or, not this week, next week, Emir Tz Hashem. But there's a reason. There's a plan. You're right. David HaMelech, and this is the difficult part, David HaMelech is a tragic figure. He's a tragic figure because he literally has a lifetime of suffering. And precisely because of this point, because God will not give him a tangible sign of forgiveness. The why we'll get to. So what? Yes? I do not answer any questions about Gilgulim. No idea. It would appear that they'd have to. I guess you keep coming back until you get it right. I have no idea. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know the answer. They're excellent questions. Again, all I can do is quote you the Al-Sheikh and the Zohar that he quotes. The explanation of it, follow up on it, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Okay, so now, I'll tell you what I find interesting about this, and at least we'll begin this week, although it'll carry into next week, is what strikes, but we'll obviously spend the subsequent weeks getting into the actual you know, the actual kishkas of this capital. The Al-Sheikh at least kind of paints us a panoramic view of what's happening over here. David HaMelech is struggling with the aftermath of the episode of Bathsheba, and according to the Al-Sheikh, this capital is actually a targeted request to once again take two. Request two, let me build the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas the first time I asked you, God, I remember what prompted David HaMelech's request the first time. The first time, the Navi seems to indicate David HaMelech built himself a beautiful palace. And after he built himself a beautiful palace, he says, you know what, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going ahead in what? I'm living in a beautiful house, and God's living in a tent. That's what prompted it. Now the second request is being prompted from a totally different perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm suffering. Nothing could quiet down the suffering on the home front. Let me build the Beis HaMikdash, a tangible display of your forgiveness. But here's what I want to show you, kind of bigadol, in almost like in a broad stroke, in a panoramic view. What's amazing about this is the following. You see a pattern that develops in the Davidic personality. What is David HaMelech expressing in this capital? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm overwhelmed, and I'm bombarded by negativity. I have to deal with my own personal struggles. I'm king, and so I have to deal again with the external enemies all around me. And then what? And then I have to deal with the people who I can't even walk into the Beis Medrash. I can't even go to shul. I can't even learn. I can't even daven without people around me taunting me. So for David HaMelech, there's no solace. For David HaMelech, there's nowhere to go. For David HaMelech, there's no escape. He's always... But what's interesting about this is the following. Because of all that, David HaMelech's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is strengthened. Now, I'll tell you why I find this very unique. Because I think, for many of us, when we are bombarded with things, it often doesn't immediately strengthen the relationship. It often strains the relationship. I wonder, which I think is totally normal, which we often wonder, why me? And why, Kadosh Baruch Hu, like, why? And by the way, David HaMelech has those moments also. David HaMelech is the same man who also said, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani. Why did you forsake me? So David HaMelech goes through those periods also. But I think what's amazing over here is that David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David, I'm just bearing my soul to you. Hashem, Ori V'yishi, I'm struggling internally, I'm struggling externally, and yet what? Hashem Ma'os Chayai, I feel embraced and enveloped by you. So it intrigued me. How is it that David HaMelech is strengthened by adversity? How is it that David's relationship with God ultimately is bolstered? It's not strained. It's amazing. It's not strained. It's not tested. It almost seems that the more David suffers, the more difficulty he has, the more connected he becomes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, how does that occur? Independent of this capital. Just in general, how does that occur? So I want to share with you something interesting that will begin this week. We'll begin this week, but we'll carry over till next week. So I had a wonderful experience this week. I got to speak to the 12th graders at Beis Yaakov. And what they asked me to speak about was Emunah. I'm happy they gave me a very defined and narrow topic, like Emunah. And I'll tell you the truth. What was interesting is that it was actually it took me a long time to really think about what to say. Why? Because I think it's very difficult to quantify what Emunah means. What if we were to give over Emunah, okay, believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's nice to say that Emunah is belief. What's the problem with saying that Emunah is belief? What's the problem with saying that Emunah means to believe in God? I'm sorry? Something negative happens to test that belief. This is a more fundamental issue. Everybody interprets it differently. And there's even a more fundamental idea, which is that, I'm sorry? Does God command us to, let me say it differently. Does the Torah legislate our emotions? Okay, why would you say, so you'll say, well, it sounds like, of course it does. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you'll notice, if you look at Rashi HaKadosh, the way Rashi interprets that pasuk, Rashi says, what does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Asei devarav me'ahava. Rashi says, what does it mean to love God? When you serve God in a way that what? That looks like you love Him. Now what does that mean? There are two ways I could take out the garbage. I could say, I'm taking out the garbage, right? Or I could say, you know what, Tinini Mukhan and Mazuman to take out the garbage. I'm building a Bayis Neman be Yisrael. It's beautiful. Now, nobody has to go that far. But at the end of the day, we know that there are certain things in life you have to do. You have to do. And you choose your perspective on how you do them. Now, I don't think there's anybody who likes to take out the garbage. But at the same time, a person could do that in a way where they indicate that they're doing something productive and useful for the household. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not command us to love him. Why does God not command us to love him? Because you can't tell someone to love you, even if you're God. No matter how powerful you are, no matter how powerful, you cannot command. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can manipulate my mind. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, same way he hardened Paro's heart, if he wants to plant divine love in my heart, he could do that. But that's him doing that. That's not me. God cannot force, you can't, just like I can't force another person to love me. God can't force me. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of us? God asks of us for a behavior. So I say Devarav Me'ava. When I do mitzvos, I shouldn't do them begrudgingly. I shouldn't do them begrudgingly. Rather, how should I do them? I should do them in a way that looks like I love God. Now, do I really love God?
I don't know.
But one thing is clear, which is, you know, there's this famous statement of the Sefer HaChinuch, of Acharei HaPa'ulos Nimshachos HaLevavos. That, you know, there's a fundamental dispute in terms of how do you become a good person. So there's a school of thought that says that in order to be a good person, you have to start with a good heart. Start, right, cultivate a good heart, and then ultimately you'll do good things. The other school of thought says, well, what's going to happen, right? So I'm going to sit down on my couch, right? I'm saying, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm ready for the good heart, right? Lay it on me, bring it on. I am ready to be a good person. As soon as you infuse me with that shefa, with that flow of divine goodness, I'm ready to be one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. I'm ready. Wonderful. And what will happen if you do that? So clinical tests have shown that people who sit down on their couch and wait for God to fill their hearts with goodness are still where? Are still on the couch. So says the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says that's not the way to become a good person. How do you become a good person? Do good things. Do good things. And you know something amazing happens. If you keep on doing good things in a sustained fashion, one day you will be a good person. When? How long? How will you know? That varies individual to individual. But don't wait for a good heart. Do good things. Good actions create good hearts. So says Rashi, you want to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's what you do. You go ahead and you do mitzvos in a way that at least makes it look like behaviorally you love God, even though in the beginning, let's be honest, you might be faking it a little bit. You might not really feel it. You might not love it. You might not even want to do it. It's okay. Fake it, begin. Just do it behaviorally, put on the good face, and one day you will find that those actions seep into your heart. You know, there's an amazing story. Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky writes that he was one time at a psychiatric conference, and he was sitting across from a world-renowned psychiatrist. And it was during somebody was giving a lecture, and he writes that he sees this psychiatrist going like this, with his mouth, like trying to make a smile throughout the entire lecture. But Tversky writes, he says, for a second, I thought that the patients got out of the asylum. And he said, I know what's good. So he asked after the lecture, he said to the doctor, can I ask you, what were you doing? Such a profound thing. The doctor said, you know, sometimes I don't feel happy. And sometimes I don't feel like smiling. But I've come to realize that if I manipulate my facial muscles myself enough in the form of a smile, it sticks. And it's profound, profound insight. Behavioral conditioning creates spiritual realities. This is what we always miss on this. We think people get so frustrated because I don't feel it. I don't care if you don't feel it. You have to do it anyway. But you know what the great part is? If you keep doing it, you will feel it. You just have to have the staying power. You just have to have the resolve. And again, yes, sometimes it takes a very long time. Sometimes a person does it for years and they don't feel it. But if you can, and this is the great challenge in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you keep doing it, asay devarav me'ava, asay devarav, and then what? One day you'll feel in love. So yes, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us to love him, but it doesn't begin with the emotional response. Instead, what does it begin with? It begins ultimately with the actions. Do things. So why am I sharing this with you? With this, we'll have to stop. We'll pick up with this next week. But so therefore, when we try to understand what emunah is, so emunah can't just simply be an emotion or a belief either. Because the problem is then, how do I get it? I start believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it, boom, it's just an emotion, it's just a feeling. I've suddenly absorbed it into myself. It can't be that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't command us to just simply feel a certain way or to believe a certain way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to act. And the reason why this is important is because clearly David has stumbled upon something positive. David HaMelech has cultivated a sense of emunah that allows him to feel closer to God the more acute his life challenges become. It's the exact opposite experience that we normally relate to. We normally, and again, I think for most of us, the more bombarded we are with the vicissitudes and difficulties of life, the more we feel our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is strained. For David HaMelech, the more bombarded and overwhelmed he becomes, seems to be the stronger the connection is. And perhaps that's going to be based on how David HaMelech understood the concept of emunah. We'll stop over here for this week. In Meretz Hashem, next week we'll pick up with that definition of Davidic emunah, and we'll continue in Kapitel Chaf Zayin.